Hey guys, and welcome to a new episode of Five. Today I invited a very interesting founder from our network, Caro Kunert. Caro is the founder of Knister Grill, and she started her business in 2017, and since then they are continuously growing. Caro previously studied industrial design at the Munich University of Applied Sciences, so this is a very inspiring story, and let's just start our conversation.
For us, entrepreneurship is not necessarily about starting or running a business. It's a state of mind, a principle of life, and an approach to dealing with problems. This is Five, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship by the Munich University of Applied Sciences and the Strasek Center for Entrepreneurship. We strongly believe in diversity. It's just so much more fun and exciting. Diversity in food, in cultures, in places, ways of living, learning, creating and doing things. It's this desire to explore that we all have in us, to see new things, and yes, to be curious to look what's behind the next corner.
Hey, Caro, and welcome to our new episode of Five. And warm welcome to this podcast episode.
Thanks for having me here. Hi.
Yeah. Would you want to start with telling who you are and what is it about your startup, Knister Grill?
Yes, so my name is Caroline. I'm the founder of Knister Grill. And I started my company, nearly 3.5 years ago. And I had the problem of how to transport my barbecue, because I grew up in the city and I always had the issue like how to get to the grill location. And as an industrial designer, I studied industrial design in Munich and Denmark. I quickly, more or less, developed the best transportable barbecue on the market. And I started my company with a Kickstarter campaign, 3 years ago, actually, and then slowly grew the company, hired here and there, some employees. And now we are selling our products in the whole DACH region, so Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and a little bit of Scandinavia already, in like within thousands of quantities. And making simply the best barbecue experience for outdoor people.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool product and I really like it. As I'm a bike enthusiast, so I always like things that can be carried on a bike.
And I forgot to tell that actually, or did I? So the cool feature actually is that you can carry the barbecue by bike. You can simply hook it to the handlebars or carry it like a basket. It's both, it's possible.
I think it's just the image that I have in my hand whenever I think about the Knister Grill.
Yeah, that's actually how the whole story started, with the bike attachment thing. But nowadays, actually, it's not the main feature. Most of our main customers are like campers or people who love camping and stuff. So the initial feature actually is not that much in the focus anymore.
When you introduced yourself, you said that you studied industrial design at the Munich University of Applied Science. As an industrial designer, I mean, you're pretty much used to develop products and ideas for problems. However, it's not maybe always so common to really put that into a startup business. And I think you founded Knister Grill in 2017, so still while you were studying. Maybe tell us a bit how did that happen and what was your motivation to start a business? And
no one in my family or in my one of my friends or anyone, no one has their own business. When back then in 2017, I didn't know anyone who had a startup or who was planning to make a startup, or there was a thing that never ever ever came in my mind. So the whole entrepreneurship scene, whatever, or trend, I had never heard anything about that. So my plan was in the beginning not to found a startup. My plan was, I'm an industrial designer and then I'm working for, automotive concern or furniture companies or whatever, and building cool, funny products. So that was actually my initial idea, how I planned my life, I would say. But back then in Denmark, in Odense, in 2017, that was November 2017. My roommate from my dormitory, he invited me to a startup hackathon competition thing. There was like one weekend where you push your business ideas. And in the beginning, actually, I didn't really want to join, and he gave me a free entry card. And I was like, oh, come on, I don't have time. I mean, I'm on Erasmus semester. Like, why the hell should I work a whole weekend? You know, it's exhausting and it takes a lot of energy. But I don't know, somehow he managed that I I went to this workshop and to this hackathon competition. And I had the idea of a transportable barbecue few years earlier, actually, but I never like developed it or anything. But in the beginning of that hackathon, everyone had to pitch their idea, and I pitched like a 1 minute pitch, like, oh, I want to work on a transportable barbecue. So that was my pitch, actually. so all like the idea I wanted to work on, because I like really had this problem like every summer for years and years and years. Like, it's always a problem of grilling. So I pitched this idea and worked on that idea this hackathon weekend, this whole weekend. And in the end of that hackathon weekend, I actually won that competition with that idea. So that idea was selected. I was like, okay, wow, crazy. And that hackathon, it's from Startup Weekend. It's an international organization. It's pretty famous, actually. And I had so much fun like with developing a business idea and making like small prototypes and, I don't know, sketching around a business model or thinking about marketing ideas. And it was so cool. It was so cool environment. And I said, okay, that's actually really funny. And that's exactly what I want to do. And that was like November 2017. And then was Christmas holidays. I went back to Germany and the whole idea more or less, I don't know, nearly stopped. And but I was back in Germany then. And during that weekend, I had two other people in my team who joined my team. But the team went apart, actually, because there was two Danish people and they stayed in Denmark. I went back to Munich. But I really, I always stick to that idea. And I thought, okay, fuck, this could be something, you know? And I worked, like, the past weeks on that idea. And then I went back to Germany and I really kind of stick to it, I don't know, and said, okay, I'm just trying to bring it to the market. I had no idea how that worked. I had no idea about business. I had no idea about finance or founding a company, anything. But I went back to Germany. I said, okay, I want to develop it. Development is not the most difficult thing for me because, I mean, I learned it. I studied that. But bringing something to mass production is, the critical point, actually. And then I joined the SCE. Because I was super into the startup hype. I was super into it, the entrepreneurship thing. And I joined SCE, the Strategic Center. And they gave me a workplace in their incubator. And that was in April 2018, I think. And that's when I started working on Knister Grill. And then I made a Kickstarter campaign and developed the product within a few months, brought it within a few months to serial production and shipped out the first 100 grills. I funded over Kickstarter on my own. And that was kind of the start of that idea. I thought, okay, I think on Kickstarter, it's not that much money. I think I raised like 17,000. So not that much, but I thought, okay, there's like 150, 140, I don't know, customers who like pay for that idea. So there's definitely somehow a market or somehow a need for that. And that's why I believed in that idea and continued working on it.
So the Kickstarter, as I understood for you, was not only about raising the initial money to produce the grill, but also to kind of like as a proof for market.
For sure. Yeah.
And maybe from this campaign, in the retro perspective, would you suggest or anyone to do a Kickstarter? What were your learnings, or what did you like your takeaways if someone considers for their own startup to launch a Kickstarter campaign?
Mm-hmm. I think Kickstarter is for many physical products a great idea to like double check your business idea. And if you're making something really complicated or software or anything, Kickstarter is probably not the best platform. But for physical products or fashion or whatever, it's definitely cool. It's like that's a really, really nice platform. I mean, yeah, I'm a really sales driven person. So like every startup I'm coaching or whatever I'm like giving, yeah, whoever I'm giving speeches to, sales is actually their thing in the end, what makes your business successful. No one cares about nice marketing campaigns or nice branding or whatever, unless if you have in the end zero customers or zero revenue, your whole company sucks. So that's why I think, especially in the beginning of founding a company, generating sales is really, really important to, first of all, of course, prove your business model or prove a business, yeah, concept, product, whatever. So, because you can make a hell and tons of research and ask thousands of people, would they buy this for, I don't know, $20? And everyone is saying, yes, 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 I would buy it, or no, I won't. But this data or these statistics, they don't matter. I mean, if you can convince, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 people to give you 20 euros cash in your hand for pre-ordering your product, then you definitely have the proof of concept. Then you definitely know, okay, there's actually someone who's really willing to pay for it and really wants to buy it. And this is the best thing that could happen and the best thing that, yeah, could prove, yeah, the concept of your product. And this is exactly what Kickstarter is also doing. And that was also for me really important because, I mean, I started the whole company with €0. I was completely, yeah, I mean, my bank account was more or less completely empty because I came back from Denmark and Denmark is really expensive. So I had no money at all. And I definitely didn't want to ask my parents if they give me a few thousand euros, for sure not. Because money was kind of a funny idea. I had no idea how to fund a business. Why should my parents give me, I don't know, 10,000 euros? Why should they? They would have never done that, actually. So I thought, okay, that's the second good thing about Kickstarter. How can I finance the whole production? How can I pre-finance the whole idea, the whole business? And this is also what Kickstarter is doing. You're generating revenue, you have it on your bank account, and then you can make the order with your suppliers. So you have a better cash flow, actually. And in the beginning, no one would invest in your company. Like when you have no, like it's so hard to generate like money from investors or anything. They won't invest in your company if you have like no proof at all. Sometimes they do, but I mean it's a cash flow thing. And when you have zero cash on your bank account, you need somehow some money to start it. And Kickstarter is a cool tool to use it. So yeah. I would definitely recommend it.
Cool. And like, I mean, that's probably something that many people, why they don't start actually their business is that they kind of, I mean, you need money for living and for food and for all like life expenses. So how did you survive during this?
Yeah, I survived because I generated revenue from the first minute on. The very first minute, more or less. I mean, I was still enrolled at the university and I still got some money from the, like, you know, Kindergeld, I don't know. So also during study times, I mean, your payroll is not that high. Yeah. How much money as a student do you really need? I mean, I don't have children, I don't have a house, I don't have loans, you know? So in the beginning, I mean, my own personal payroll was super low. And generating, I don't know, Munich is expensive, but let's say you need, I don't know, 1,000 euros, 1,500 euros, you will definitely survive as a student. But many startups or wannabe founders, I would say, who are like, will to start a company, they don't get the point that you can start selling or start earning money with your idea before actually having it. Because it definitely needs ages or a month until you have your final product. But when you simply switch it around, earn money before you deliver the product, then all of your problems are solved, right? So just simply, or it's not so simple as I say, but yeah, but really try to get the cash flow somehow running really early on. Also with pilot customers. I mean, also if you don't have a physical product, it's also possible. Don't make free, like don't work for free with pilot customers. Let them pay you a few hundred euros, I don't know, something. Then you have the proof and you have the cash flow and then you can pay yourself a little bit of money to survive. It's definitely possible. And I would say, wow, I'm a good example for that.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to show in this podcast too, you know, that it's possible. And there's like, I mean, of course, what you just said is not like super, super simple, or you have to have passion and a good product, mm-hmm. and you have to convince people, which is also not yeah. always as easy, and you have to hit kind of a trend with maybe the product yeah. or a need.
And yeah, but most important, sorry for interrupting, because you said I can convince people. That's true. I can convince people to pre-order my products, and the reason why I can do that is communication and design, I would say. Because if you have, I don't know, some skills of making nice renderings, Photoshop skills, whatever, generating cool images of a product which is not really existing, then you generate a lot of trust, actually, because your images and pictures, whatever, look super cool and the people trust you. If you have a super shitty looking website with like no product images or whatever, no one, of course, will buy it. So that's why I would definitely recommend, try to hire or not hire, maybe in the beginning it's expensive to hire, but try to convince a designer friend or communication designer friend who helps you to communicate your products in the best way. So, sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was actually another question that I had in mind, like for the skills that really helped you while starting your business. So you just already mm-hmm. said, like, I mean, some skills that you just had because of your study background, and mm-hmm. maybe other skills that you had to learn while walking the path, I would say.
Yeah.
What would you say that some other skills that you, when you think back of like the last 3 years, that are really helpful to have as a founder?
So one skill I definitely had or still definitely have is that I'm a really resilient person, and that's, in my opinion, the most important skill you need as a founder. And you definitely have to get stronger before you get weaker. Okay, that sounds a bit stupid. You should not be afraid of problems and of bigger and bigger and bigger problems. Because they will definitely came, like they will for sure cross your way. For sure, your problem. There are so many problems on your way, and these problems definitely only get bigger. I guarantee you that. But you really have to, generate as quick as possible the like a certain kind of strength and a certain kind of resilience to tackle these problems and to actually solve them and to get past these ups and especially these downs. Because they are definitely really, really tough. And I think I had this, or I learned this. I mean, you learn that as a child when you go to like sports clubs, or you know, when you have like competitions on a football court or on a tennis court, or you know, you always have a kind of a fighting situation. So you have like you have your like a clear brain and solve problems in a really tough surrounding. And yeah, if you're used to these situations, for example, as a football player or whatever, then it's maybe easier because you're a bit stronger, you're a bit more resilient. I think I had this power or these strengths from my childhood on. And you definitely, I mean, to survive these holes, ups and downs, and to tackle all these problems, and believe me, really, they're getting bigger and bigger, you really need a strong belief in your idea and in yourself. Because sooner or later, you will definitely stand on the edge and say, okay, why am I doing this? Why should I continue? There is no way to get out of this trouble. But if the really, really deep wish of your idea and why you're actually standing up every morning is so strong, and money is not a reason which drives you through all these problems, for sure not. Like the reason I'm founding because I want to get rich is stupid. You won't survive for sure. But if you have a strong belief in your idea, then, and if you really think that idea it's worth for surviving that, then your idea will definitely come to success for sure.
So maybe tell us a bit like about some of your biggest problems that you were facing throughout the last years, and how did they then somehow solve themselves, or how did you solve them? Or maybe can you think like maybe there's even right now a problem, like, I mean, or just to make it a bit more tangible on like what kind of problems you're facing.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, in the beginning of funding a company, yeah, you have different problems compared to what problems I actually have now. And as longer your company exists, as more crucial these problems kind of get, because you're losing more. Yeah, 1.5 years ago, I made my first fundraising round with a few business angels. And that was actually a really, really crucial moment, because it was the first time that we, survived with sales, because we did, but we want to grow faster. So that's why we took business angels on board. And the whole investment process was really, really, really tough. It was right before the Corona crisis started. I mean, some of you maybe remember the day where the stock exchange market in Germany or in the whole world fell down like hell, like I think like a lot. I think it was in March, 20th of March, I think. And that was actually the point. So my whole and all of my angels I generated over the past half year, and they signed everything, and there was so much like discussions about the price and the valuation and stuff. It was so exhausting time. And on the day where our notary appointment was, the stock exchange crashed completely, and then half of the business angels skipped out. Okay, I'm not doing that investment. And the other investors who actually still were there said, okay, I wanna buy it for the half of the price. And it's like, fuck, this is really drastic what is happening right now. And if I would have not closed that investment, for sure my company would have died like a few weeks later, for sure. That was actually a really, really, really tough time for me. Because you can see the edge of your journey. You can see when it's, you already have it in your, you can see it, you can nearly see the end. And if you're right before the end, where, for example, at this day at the notary appointment, then you sometimes think, okay, what would I do? Okay, do I really want to survive at that company, or if I'm not taking this deal 2 weeks later, I'm bankrupt, you know? And these decisions are super, super tough. But that's life actually as a founder, to be honest. So it's super tough, but you will always get to these edges, you know, the edges where you nearly see your company fall down.
Do you have like a mentor, or do you have someone you can talk to and consult when you don't know?
Definitely. I have a few really, really cool mentors who helped me the whole journey actually, because as I said, I have no one in my family or from my friends who had like who are experienced with these kind of problems. I mean, if I'm talking to my parents, they are always just, they simply don't know what to, they don't have an advice for me, you know, because it's something completely different what they're doing. But it's a fine, because in March 2018, when I started with that idea, when I joined the SCE, I went on every second networking event in Munich. So every day, every evening, I was on some sort of networking event. And that helped me to generate a lot of contacts and a huge, really worthful, or really, a really cool network I actually have. And within this network, I found a few mentors who helped me from the beginning, actually, who asked the correct questions. You know, because as a founder, you're always like in your mind, because you have so much things to do and you always stick, you're kind of caught in your own brain. And because you're hustling a lot and you don't find a second to breathe and you don't find a second to, look from the bird perspective to your company. But good mentors actually help you to, step back, catch breath, and ask the correct questions.
Yeah, maybe my last two questions would be like, so what are the next steps for Knister Grill? Like, what's coming up next on your journey? And then if you have maybe like some tips for students who also think about becoming an entrepreneur, what would you give them as an advice?
The big dream and the big vision of it is not only to make portable grills. The big idea is to get the most sustainable outdoor brand in the whole market. And the main reason also why I founded that, I think I didn't say that at the beginning, but is to really have sustainable supply chains. And this is, in my opinion, everyone, like seriously, everyone who's founding a company in these days and initially like producers in China or don't even think about supply chain or local supply chains or sustainability. I think this is, first of all, stupid, in my opinion. Yeah, it's simply what you also have to do as a founder. You're a role model. You can really change the world. I'm really, really picky on, okay, where to actually produce and which quality can we produce. And to make that in a big scale. I can't change the world if I'm producing, I don't know, a few hundred grills and there's no big impact. But if I'm able to convince every disposable grill user, for example, in whole Europe, then I think there is definitely some sort of impact. And my wish is to make sustainable consumer goods in a big scale and to have a sustainable supply chain also in a big, in a really big scale. I think the whole idea is a bit deeper. I mean, it's not just about disposable grills. If my business is successful and it's getting every day more successful, I would say, and I'm really a role model also for huge billion-dollar companies, because definitely I'm not the same level, but I'm a role model for them, but also I'm a role model, or my company is a role model for other startups or other companies, to show, hey, you can definitely have a profitable, successful, big business, even when you make sustainable things. And this is the vision I want to transport. You asked me to give a few, like the students, a few advices. I would say simply start. That's the best time. I would really say it's the best time in your life to start a business. If everyone is saying, yeah, I would like to generate some work experience, and after 3 or 2 years, then I make my own business. Yeah, you generate some work experience, but you have no experience about founding your company. So you definitely don't have that knowledge. So simply try to start as early as possible. And the good thing about starting in a young age is that you really can't lose anything. The worst thing that could happen is that you have to look for a job afterwards. That's the worst thing. Come on, looking for a job after you fucked up the company. That's a good thing, actually. That's the worst thing that could happen. I mean, you're not bankrupt and you're not dying, you know? So simply start it. There's nothing to lose and it's the best time. Because, you are probably, most of you don't have family or don't have loans or anything. So start with your idea. And if you really believe in it, it's definitely going to be successful.
Thank you, Caro. Thank you so much for your passion that really swiped over, and also for your mission with your business. I truly appreciate it. And thanks for your time. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks a lot. And cool. Cool podcast, and I hope everyone loved or liked a bit to listen to my thoughts and to my visions. And I'm happy to help.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This was 5, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship. We hope that today's episode sparked your curiosity and leaves you feeling inspired and motivated to explore further. Follow us on Spotify, Deezer, iTunes, or Google Podcast to never miss upcoming insights on inspiring startup stories. Thanks for listening, and until next time.